Turn to Galatians chapter 6, and then I'm going to read a little bit more in Corinthians, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. You know, if we ain't careful, we get to, and I fell into this yesterday a little bit. Several weeks ago when we had a baptizing service, Brother Clint, I went home that night, and I'd actually told people, I said, man, the day was a great day. We had one saved in children's church that morning. We had a great service. Had five. We baptized five that night. It was just a great day. I said, this was one, you know, one of the days when you go home as being a pastor. Thank God for letting me be a pastor. I said, and then you have these days like yesterday. But even in days like yesterday, I thank God for letting me be a pastor. Because I know where Brother Johnny's at, amen. Tell you something, if there's any question in your mind about your salvation, you need to get on this altar today before it's too late. Because he went to, I text Preacher Billy Fields, I said, he just met Jesus listening to you sing. Amen. It was a good day. It was a good day. You pray for the family. Mark, Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, when you get there, let's stand. I want to read one verse and then we'll pray. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, for the songs and the children, God, and everything just working like it's worked, God. Lord, you move right now in the service, God. And help me as I try to preach, God. Help me to try to bring the message, Lord, in a way that you'd be pleased, God. Lord, if there's one that's not saved, not sure, God, about their salvation. God, if there's one, the Lord, that's just kind of going through the motions, God. Help us to get on an altar and nail it down today, God. And we'll make sure you get all the praise and the glory, God. Because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I like it when you're studying and you find something that you've never found before. As I was studying yesterday and thinking about this, I found this little true story. The 40 martyrs of Sebaste. Listen to this story. 40 soldiers, all Christians, were members of a famed 12th Legion of Rome's Imperial Army. One day the captain told them that Emperor Licinius had sent down an edict to all the soldiers who they were to offer sacrifices to pagan gods. These Christians replied, you can have our armor, you can even have our bodies, but our hearts and our allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ. We could stop right there and everything be good. It was midwinter. It's about 320 years after death. And the captain had them march into a nearby frozen lake. He stripped them of all their clothes, and they would either die or renounce Christ. Throughout the night, the 40 men huddled together, and they sang a little song that they made up, 40 martyrs for Jesus. One by one, the temperature took its toll, and they started to fall and die. At the last, there was one man left, and he lost courage, and he stumbled to the shore where he renounced Christ. And they had these warm baths up there for them to get into if they would just renounce Christ. He gave in and he stumbled to the shore and renounced Christ. And as he got in, Brother Tony, as he got into the warm bath, he died of shock. Watching all this was one of the guards that had been watching all this. And he said as he looked out on the ones that were still there, he could see a glow about them. He decided he wanted to be a Christian. He stripped off all of his clothes, walked into the lake, and died so they could still sing 40 martyrs for Jesus. George Attlee was killed while serving in Central America on a mission. There were no witnesses, but the evidence indicates that Attlee was confronted by a band of hostile tribesmen. He was carrying a fully loaded 10-chamber Winchester rifle, and he could either choose to shoot these tribesmen or further the name of Jesus. When they found his body, they found the fully loaded gun beside his body. He chose to be like Paul, said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I could go on and on and on about martyrs. I could talk about Polycarp. I could talk about all these things. And they're men. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul must have looked like? The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 23 says this, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Five times of the Jews received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. I wonder what the Apostle Paul must have looked like when you looked on him. I wonder if you could see West the scars where the stones was hitting him in the face. And I wonder if you could see the scars on his back. Most of us have seen the movies and the depictions of the slaves during before the Civil War, how they would have all those stripes on their backs. And we've seen movies where people would get beat like that. I wonder what the Apostle Paul must have looked like. I wonder what John must have looked like on the Isle of Patmos after he'd been boiled in oil and they couldn't kill him. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you saw Paul, there was no question who he served. They didn't nobody have to ask Paul, are you a Christian? If somebody's got to ask you, are you a Christian, you ain't much of a Christian. They ought to know when you walk up, glory to God. They ought to be able to see. When you walk up, they ought to be able to see that you're a Christian. That's what I want to preach to you a little bit about. I want to preach about, I'm marked for Jesus. Amen. Paul was marked with a passion for souls. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He warned people about hell. He warned people about being saved. When's the last time you warned anybody about hell? I mean, we go through life, and if we ain't careful, David mentioned something about this just this morning. We go through life, and, you know, we just happy being saved. I just don't want to go to hell. I'm happy being saved. Just leave me alone. Don't ask me to come to visitation. Don't ask me to come to Master's Men. Don't ask me to come to Ladies Auxiliary. Don't ask me to come to Sunday school. I'm just happy being saved. If you're just happy being saved, you ain't saved. We ought to want everybody. Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jew and Greek. He was marked with a passion. He was marked for a purpose to preach the gospel. Amen. Paul was a preacher. Paul was not one of them that backed up into a corner. Paul was not one of them that come out with 3 points in a poem. Paul was not one of them that worked. Hey, I never thought about it until I was studying some this week. Paul never received a salary for what he did. Paul, hey, he was a tent maker. He paid his own way. He said, I ain't going to be in debt to nobody. I'm going to preach the gospel straight down the middle. Amen. That's what we need today. We need some Christians that'll be marked for the gospel of God and preach it straight down the middle. On your job, at school, you need to let everybody know what thus saith the word of God. If you like to tiptoe around it because you want to hurt somebody's feelings, I'm telling you right now, just tell the truth. Amen. Just tell the truth. Acts chapter 26, verse 6, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness of both these things that thou hast seen and those things which I shall appear unto thee. Who did he preach for? He preached for Jesus, amen. Why did he preach? Because he was called. I had a preacher tell me one time, Brother David, he come to my house and his daughter and my daughter were friends and me and him was talking and God had just called me to preach. He said, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't want to preach. He said, I would have never have chose this for my life. He said, but God called me. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I was happy being a state trooper. My wife says I enjoyed it. I was tickled to death. We had us a nice house down in Conway, Greg. We had some nice little piece of land. My kids were in school. They was just happy as they could be. I know, let me tell you something, I know where Preacher Trevor is at right now. I'm going to tell you right now, when God calls you, you do what God says. Because it ain't about you no more. I've been trying to tell y'all that for 23 years. That ain't about you. It's about him. And understand something. Whether you're called to be a preacher, whether you're called to be a deacon, whether you're called just to sit on the pew and encourage somebody, we all need to be ministers when we go out there and tell people about Jesus. Amen. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. He had a passion to preach. He was marked because of a promise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hey, if you believe that, you are marked today. Amen. How many believe that Jesus is coming back? Amen. We are marked with a promise. If you believe that, they already got a mark on you. You understand something. Hey, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Why do I act like I do? Why do I come to church and preach like I do? Why do I get happy like I do? Because I know that one day I'm going to be where Johnny Hughes is at. Amen. One of these days I'm going to stand before Jesus. One of these days I'll see him face to face. One of these days I'll lay down this old flesh and I'll pick up that glorified body. Amen. That's a promise. That is a promise. We're marked because of a prize. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the prize? Heaven. Johnny made it. And as those three ladies were singing that song about that one standing on the shore singing that song. I said, he's there. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you right now, sometime about 8:40 last night when he took his last breath on this side, I'm telling you right now, heaven opened up. I told Brian, I said, if you was in the room, I guarantee you one thing. You can say the gates of heaven opened up and welcomed him in. You understand something? Hey, he didn't stop at the gate. He wasn't shaking hands with somebody when he walked in. He had one thing on his mind. That's get to Jesus, glory to God. And I believe last night, about 20 minutes to 9, he got to Jesus. That's the prize. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's coming. And praise God, if he tarries time and he don't come and he calls me on to be with him, that'll be fine too. But we're marked. Understand that. We're marked. We're marked because of a position. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That sanctification means we're set apart. Now listen, if you're here today and you claim to be saved, and I'm not talking about one of these here just wishy-washy Christians. I'm not talking about one of these here little, like Preacher Buddy C said one time, some of these mossy back hypocrites. I'm talking about saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm talking about got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you ain't ashamed for everybody in the world to know you got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are marked. They already think you crazy. Amen. They already think you crazy. So I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all something. They already seen your car in the parking lot. Amen. I mean, Brother David, we kind of joke about this sometimes, you know, and my Brother Johnny's sister was there at the house yesterday, and we were talking about the first time she'd ever come to church over here. She said, and everybody stood up, and everybody started praying. She said, she went, whoa. She said, I just wasn't used to that. And she said, one of them leaned up and told Brother Johnny, said, when y'all bringing out the snakes? She said, Johnny looked back and said, we only do that on Tuesday. But she said, this is what she said, Mike. Said after she got home, said, Brother Johnny called her. Said, I'm sorry if you got a little upset at church. She said, I didn't get upset at church. She said, I enjoyed it. She said, just because I'm a Methodist and y'all Free Will Baptists don't mean we ain't all going to heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you something, folks. You ain't got to be Free Will Baptist to go to heaven. I know that shocked some of y'all. They're going to be Southern Baptists. They're going to be Pentecostal Nazarene. They're going, hey, as long as you love Jesus and you're living right and you got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, hey, I'm telling you right now, we can all go to heaven together. They ain't all got to get loud like me, and that's all right. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, we have already been marked. If you believe in old-time sanctified living, you've already been marked. The world thinks you crazy. If you believe in living right, and you believe it's a sin to cuss, and you believe it's a sin to drink, you believe it's a sin to shack up and do all this other kind of nonsense, I'm telling you right now, the church world thinks you're crazy. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I still believe in the old King James Version of the Bible. I ain't changing. I believe you're supposed to live right. I believe you're supposed to talk right, walk right. I believe you're supposed to walk like a Christian, look like a Christian, talk like a Christian. Amen. They already think I'm crazy. I don't care. See, the problem is a lot of people worried about what people think about them. I got over that a long time ago. Let me go ahead and tell you something. Everybody in here is already marked. Now listen, every one of us are marked. Some of you are marked as a sold out Christian. I believe if somebody looks at Taylor and says, I believe that boy sold out. Amen. Amen. I believe somebody looks at David and Skip and Tony and Robert and Greg. Well, I believe they sold out. I believe they do. Some of you has got a name of marked as being a worldly Christian. Oh, they just go along with anything. They go to church on Sunday and act like they all holy, but then throughout the middle of the week, they sure don't live it. Oh, yeah, you people that you work with know you. Your family knows you. Every one of us is marked. Greg, I'm just going to tell you, every one of us are marked. Some of us in here marked as just a low-down, dirty, rotten sinner. Amen, that's how I used to be marked. I'm going to be honest with you. I never hypocrited on the devil. When I was lost, I went full blast. Amen. And when I got saved, I ain't hypocriting on God. I ain't all I'm supposed to be, and I realize that. But I'm just going to tell you, at one point, Gavin, they said, that boy there is a sinner. And the next week when they saw me, I tell you right now, they might have thought I was a sinner, but Jesus had already got a hold of me. I want to be marked as a sold-out Christian. Let me ask you a question. If you're not sold out, what are you? Think about that for a minute. If you're not sold out, what are you? You see, you can only be sold out. And I might get in trouble for this. You're either sold out or lost. Because when Jesus comes in, there's a change. There's no such thing as a worldly Christian. That is a oxymoron. Like jumbo shrimp. Ain't no such thing. Either saved or lost. What are you marked as? Think about that for just a minute. What do people know you as? When somebody looks at you, they say, when somebody on Sunday afternoon looks at you, are they going to say, well, I know where they are. This is how I want to live my life. And I know I'm the preacher, and I know it's. I remember going to my granddaddy's house, my mama's daddy. I remember we'd get out of church, and we'd go to granddaddy's house for supper. And y'all know what I'm talking about, a big family. I mean, good granny, grandkids running everywhere. Yeah. About 5 o'clock, you'd see them, all of them start to load up in the car. Because they know a little after 5, granddaddy's going to church. You can hang around if you want to. Granddaddy said, we'll be back in a little bit. But me and mama's going to church. They knew that, Brother Barry. They knew that. They had no question. I want my family to know. I want my kids and all my grandkids to know. If you're at my house on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, I'm just going to say, hey, when it gets close to church time, you better be loading up in the car because I'm leaving shortly. I'm sold out. What are you known as? I don't think nobody had to question Paul when they looked at Paul. They didn't wonder where Paul stood. They knew where Paul stood. Where do you stand? I want you to bow your heads with me.